Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 413. As this week, we bring you the conclusion of the 1997 WWF Survivor Series. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the other half of the Watch Along Tag Team Champions of the World, Sexy Shane Shadows. Shane, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
And we are joined this week by our former co-host and the effing king of recovery and time travel, Mr. Jim Valley. So, Jim, while you're here, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to Montreal on November 9th, 1997, and rewatch the only two matches anyone remembers from this show?
You know, no one ever talks about this card at all. So
that's right.
I'm very excited. I'm not even sure what's going to happen. So this very obscure chestnut we're about to crack open here on the Wayback Plane.
Actually, like 2 weeks ago, Jim, I printed out Dave Meltzer's article, which he, you know, on this 97 Survivor Series, and his write up.
Did Dave write anything on this?
Yeah, he did.
He did. Oh, I didn't know that.
His part on the Survivor Series, which which Bret Hart endorsed and said, this is what happened as far as he knew. He made it available to the public in 1997, and I went and printed it out, and it is like 12 pages. This article itself is 12 pages single-spaced.
Also known as a slow week for Dave.
Yes, that's right. And I haven't cracked it yet. So, go subscribe to the Observer, I guess.
Followed it up with like 8 pages for the next 6 weeks after.
Well, there was a lot going on, to be fair. So, yeah, it was kind of a big deal. All right, let's go ahead and, let's ask, Jim, what have you been up to?
I've been trying to get a kidney.
Yes.
I've been doing a bunch of tests and stuff. I'm still not on the kidney transplant list, but I keep clearing all of the hurdles. So we're still doing it. So that's good.
Okay.
I do the Saturday Observer Live.
Yes.
I did my own roast of Ric Flair a couple of weeks ago, which I was pretty proud of.
Well, I think Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal did one also last week.
Yeah, well, Jeff Jarrett wrestled the proverbial old broomstick, so good for him. But no, I did it ahead of time with the Ric Flair roast because I was worried that, you know, there's only so many roast jokes. So
that's
I figured if I got out ahead of them, and it turns out no one did any of the roast jokes. There were only 3 jokes on the whole show.
Jeez.
That's wrestlers. That's the wrestling community.
Well, actually, you know what? That's pretty good if you do a major indie show and there's only 3 jokes on it.
Yeah. Yeah, usually there's that many in the first match.
Yeah, well, so there you go. And speaking of major indie shows, I got notified that Shane's got a major indie show coming up Labor Day weekend at Riverbend Park. And what are you doing Labor Day weekend?
Well, we got a big triple header that weekend.
Triple header.
Added on a new one here in the last few weeks with the South Morgan Volunteer Fire Department. Their first ever Fireman's Carnival on Friday night, September the 2nd in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
Oh, Fine Berkeley Springs, town. Yeah. Yes,
headlined by the franchise Shane Douglas in his first ever appearance for us. Yes.
Yeah.
And a great night of action. And then we go into Riverbend Park the following afternoon, which is only 30 miles down the road, but it's a private kind of a campground and so forth for folks of they have
taste and culture.
Taste and culture, yes. And so that's Saturday, September the 3rd, and we're being joined by the legendary former World's Heavyweight Champion Tommy Wildfire Rich will be on the card, and all fired up in Riverbend Park. And of course, you know, Sunday afternoon the 4th will be at Big Bear at the Community Building, 12 noon, for the annual Labor Day weekend extravaganza. The tour keeps rolling. It hadn't been the busiest year, but the fair and festival circuit works. Kind of, you got your mainstays, and you got the people who try something different
right,
for a year or so, and then you can come back to them. And
so they all tried staying home due to COVID, and this year they're doing something different.
Yes. So, you know, some years they like you, and sometimes you do great and they don't bring you back. There was one a couple years ago. We did like 5 or 6 years ago in Grantsville, Maryland, on an afternoon show. They had booked like this big Beatles tribute band or something. There was a whole bunch of things going on, but when our event went on live, Championship Pro Wrestling, it's like everything else on the fair shut down. It's like one of those instances where we did too good and they wouldn't bring us back. It's like nothing else existed, but egos get in the way. There's these different civic groups and stuff, for people who are on the outside, the infrastructure of these things, it's just it would amaze you just to watch how people can have a successful event yet somehow market as unsuccessful because they didn't want it to be, or it overlapped or overshadowed something else. Mm-hmm. It's that's the reality of it. But you know, it's like every that's winter. Life. Yeah, every winter I go and shop it out and so forth. Hey, you guys are setting up your season. You got to book your entertainment in advance, so
right. You
try to be ahead of it. And sometimes you get them. And this one here, the one we added for Berkeley Springs, is like we never heard anything else about it. And then all of a sudden, the guy's like, "Well, you know, here did the." Did they tell you how much they were spending? And because that sets up your budget.
Yeah. Good deal, man.
So,
all right. So everybody's got their, so everybody can plan their Labor Day weekend now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can cap it off.
The best thing is you don't have to spend any money. I mean, if you live in Berkeley Springs and that, and between Berkeley Springs and Falling Waters, if you're a member of the group over there on Saturday, I mean, you can see these great events and not pay a dime for them.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's the best of it, is that you don't have to spend. I mean, you got to park the car and get the kids in it and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, you get to see good quality pro wrestling. I mean, it's the independents, and you know, so sometimes it can be a mixed bag. But I try to be a little bit more particular. I'm not necessarily a guy who goes for the romantic internet favorites as much as I go for guys who I think who are good characters. Who could
I don't know. Tommy Wildfire Rich is an internet favorite.
Well, he's the headline guy. It's like, you know, you try to put some guy out there who the older people might remember. We're probably digging pretty deep to bring Wildfire up at this point, but you know.
Well, that's Shane Shadows is the internet favorite. So there you go.
Yeah. Wow. Barely known.
That's right.
Tommy Rich is 66 now.
Hey. Yeah. The other week.
Yeah, the other week. Somebody say something about being fired up about Social Security.
That's right. He's a veritable puppy if you stand him next to Ric Flair, though. So.
Yeah. And you know what else? He was a cheap flight.
Well, there
he
you go.
He was a Myrtle Beach. Now, there's a commuter flight that doesn't cost, but. It's in the double digits, but
yeah,
which is when you're talking about airline and flying in a wrestling talent, you almost can't beat that. So
no, you can't. No, sir. All right. So
plus he probably has another double shot that weekend and is maybe opening up like a.
Actually, I booked him somewhere else as a double shot. Yeah.
Wow.
I booked him as an appearance at a wrestling themed store in Winchester.
Oh, hey.
Squared Circle Collectibles. So he'll be there signing autographs on the end of the afternoon.
That guy's a pro. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
He's everywhere. All right. And we're looking forward to this, too.
I kind of sound like Tommy Rich.
What's that?
What's that?
With my voice, I kind of sound like Tommy Rich.
A little bit.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit, but only a little bit. Wow, and this is the part where I'm supposed to segue into the commercial, so we'll be right back after this. And hello, everybody listening here on the podcast. We want to tell you about what we've got going on our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. We'll get that in real quick, but we've been doing a lot. The latest thing that we did, I'm trying to... And now I'm drawing a blank, Shane.
We did Johnny Saint and David Finlay from World of Sport.
Yeah, we did World of Sport. Johnny Saint versus Fit Finlay.
Yes, and it was and a great 25-minute broadcast, in my opinion.
And that should be
I
up.
I get really pumped up. I get really pumped up about the deep dives. I mean, it's fun sometimes to go through, like, these classic cards, and sometimes some are better than others, and that's just kind of what the hand that you're dealt. But when we're just dealing with individual matches or TVs and stuff, we're just kind of picking stuff that isn't just – it's off the beaten path a little bit, and that's what motivates and excites me. I like different styles of wrestling. I love different angles. I love the philosophies and the differences. And then that's really what it's about. When you're getting up there at the Black Scorpion tier, we're digging down deep. I mean, we're trying to make it attractive to the, to the purchaser. We want, obviously, all the benefits of all the patron, the previous shows and so forth. But, you know, not only do we have the past, we have the current. And the current means that we're digging down deep. And we always try to bring our best in terms of insight and analysis.
We do.
I don't find this to be a particularly snarky show as far as, you know,
well,
I mean,
It can be, but we're mostly trying to, you know, and this is going back to when I was doing the show with Jim. We're mostly trying to do one-liners to crack each other up. So,
sure.
Rather than try to, you know,
And there's fun in that, and we like to laugh, and you know, we have a lot of personal experiences to draw off of. But I think deep down, Patrick and I both love and respect professional wrestling. It's been such a big part of our lives, and you know. And I try to bring whatever I can bring to it. So if you got $5, $9, a contribution of some sort, spend a little bit of extra money towards the Black Scorpions here and tell me what you think about how we did.
Yeah, that's what we like. Or if you want the Time Traveler tier, you can go on there. And for the somewhat low price of, I think, $4.69 a month, that sounds right for some reason. You can get all of our past episodes, this is episode 411, so that's a lot. Plus, you get the current shows without commercials, and in advance of when the podcast feed goes up, which a lot of people seem to like. So
yes,
we can do that, and we threw in a few bonus things in there, like our watch along with Bob Cook of Heroes of Wrestling. That's still in the Time Traveler's tier, and that's a classic. That's on YouTube. You can watch that without having a Peacock subscription. Exactly. It's all there. It's the shows with Shane, the shows with Jim Valley, shows with other guest hosts. You know, Lodi coming by for a Thanksgiving episode to do World Class with me, which was very nice of him. Let's see. Wow. It's a lot, and we don't mind bringing it to you. I want to thank Wade Keller for making some of those, for working with us to make sure that some of the shows that were only available on Pro Wrestling Torch available to you through Patreon. Thank you, Wade. Good man. And we hope to give you dozens, maybe hundreds of more shows in the coming years. And we're coming up on our 8th anniversary, and really, we couldn't do this without you. So thank you very much, everybody. And let's see. Hopefully Shane will get some more hats that he can sell you, too, or some T-shirts.
Absolutely. Call me. Tell me about some hats.
That's right. We're here. All right, and we're back. Let's get to the reviews of our show here. Okay, so November 9, 1997. Not going to give away the finish, obviously, but the Wrestling Observer. Well, if you don't look, there's three types of people who are going to be listening to this episode. One, people who are watching this for the first time in 25 years. Two, people who have heard about this show but never seen it. And three, people under the age of 25 who have no idea what the heck they're talking about. And welcome aboard, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, after such a compliment, you have to welcome them.
And if we start talking about Social Security again, you can fast forward. So that's okay. We don't mind. All right, so reviews of the show. Wade Keller in the Pro Wrestling Torch gave the main event 3 3/4 stars, which seems fair, all things considered. That was his best match. The worst match, Headbangers and New Blackjacks against Outlaws and the Godwins, which got a dud. Let's see. Wade
Didn't we kind of enjoy that match?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, I mean, yeah. You know, we have perspective on it from, you know, I mean, it's different. Yeah. It's different because we can enjoy a show. And unlike when I was working for the Torch, I don't have to go and watch, you know, 2 hours of Raw and 2 hours of Nitro the next night. And then, you know, the other, you know, yeah. So, you can let the show breathe, but yeah. Plus, okay, so Wade writes, both wrestlers were totally professional during the main event, which Brett probably regrets at this point. A good match, but certainly not a classic. The focus of the bout was centered more on what the finish would be than how good the match was. I can't read any of this without giving stuff away, so, yeah. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer gave the main event 3 3/4 stars. His worst match was the DOA against the Truth Commission, which drew a negative 1 1/4 star.
Now,
That's fair. Let's see. This show, when it was over, Dave writes, well, this show, when it was over, was overshadowed by the finish of the main event. In the aftermath, before the show had even started, it was guaranteed the show would be upstaged by the main event. Let's see. As it was the same broken record. The lack of talent depth in the WWF was made even more glaring in a show format that requires so many wrestlers to work the show. Even more glaring was that the problem seems to be in the picking of talent. The wrestlers in the first two matches of the show were a lot worse than what I see locally with independent wrestlers with little experience. And the wrestlers they are scouting on the independent scene are closer to Brian Lee than they are to Shawn Michaels, both in terms of size and talent, if you get my drift.
100% right on that.
I'm afraid so.
Nailed it. I started watching the show, killing time, waiting for you guys. Oh my
murdering.
God.
If
I want to see more generic wrestlers, I'd watch Impact.
Ouch.
Huh.
There is just nothing on this show. I mean, if it wasn't for this finish of the main event, no one would talk about this show. There's a reason WWE was getting his ass kicked by WCW because talent is terrible and the booking sucks.
Yeah, that was kind of a problem. All right.
Because he deserved.
Okay, Bruce Mitchell of the Torch writes, eventually, true character will reveal itself. And in the background, there was a pay-per-view. It wasn't very good. Steve Austin doesn't belong in the ring. How long can WWF fake their way through pretending the guy's all right? Mick Foley did a great job carrying the candy-striped cane, but I had my fill of watching talented guys bump around stiffs 10 years ago. And for God's sake, turn the lights on already. Okay, so. Which is fair. All right, so we are at 1 hour, 55 minutes, and 10 seconds into the Survivor Series, which is where we left off. This is the commercial break for Peacock. It's a black screen. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Shane?
Okay.
Yes.
Jim?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, so I think we all remember how this goes. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1, and there we are. Okay, and we're back. Oh, and this is the ad for the December pay-per-view. It looks kind of familiar. Actually, we did cover this. We did cover the December 97 in your house. You can go back and check that in the archives. Excuse me.
Patrick, what were we doing on this night of this pay-per-view?
On the night of this pay-per-view? Oh, gosh.
Of the Generation X pay-per-view.
December 7, 1997, Pearl Harbor night.
Oh, yeah, geez. We had a live event at the Cadillac Club.
Yeah,
because we were there. It was like the only Saturday night we did there. And
no, it's Degeneration X was on a Sunday though.
No, I don't think so. I think it was on a Saturday.
I don't know. I know we were doing that show against the SEC championship game, but you know, the football. But all right, anyway, we're back. That's the Molson Center. This is Gang Rules. And here we are. Okay. Chom and Howard Stern are the tag team champions, apparently. That's nice. Okay. Boy, this is somebody's number one. Hi, Kirby. Hi, Jonathan. Hi, Jim Ross's vest.
That is a nice vest.
That's a nice vest and a nice bow tie. That person wants a can of whoop ass. I don't know if you can get it, but you can get the whoop ass in Canada, but it can't be caffeinated, Jim.
I think it's also bigger because it's in milliliters.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not an
I think it's how Dino Bravo got killed. He was smuggling whoop ass across the.
That's it. All right. Oh, and now let's look back at what happened between Steve Austin and Owen Hart.
You get a little bit of Dino Bravo run here in 2022. There.
Yep. Well, these are okay. So this is Austin wins the King of the Ring in 96. So, well, we're going kind of far back for this actually.
Well, they're trying to hit the origins here, yep. where Austin started to get hot, mm-hmm. and this is where he started to get hot.
Exactly. Austin doesn't want any help. Yeah, it's WrestleMania 13. There we go. Stone Cold and Ken Shamrock make the save. Okay.
I like that Steve was halfway down the ramp. Ken was in the dressing room and right. still beat him to the ring.
Exactly. Okay, and this is outside of... This is on the Austin campground, which is outside the Austin trailer. Oh, yes. Oh. Okay.
Oh, that poor deer.
I know. Oh, my goodness. SummerSlam 97.
He was so young.
I know. Lord. Everybody was young. Okay. Up. Oh, and here we go. It goes up for the two. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh.
See, you're a second or so ahead of me, but this was just vicious.
Yeah. Right. It happens. Yeah. Steve's right. But he, I think that if I remember correctly, Austin understood that that sort of thing happens during a match, but didn't, Owen not calling him and checking on him afterward is really upset him.
Caused some bad feelings.
Yeah.
Well, just doing the pile driver like that at all. I mean, you have to understand
that's...
the design of the human body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's seen how you do that. You do the sit out pile driver, and you can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're the one putting up the stenosis.
Right.
Some things just aren't worth doing. The risk versus the reward. It just isn't worth doing it like that.
No.
Do it the other way. Nobody gets hurt that way.
Right. Okay. And this is, this is for the Intercontinental title. Because Austin won the title at SummerSlam. They had to have a tournament. And Owen ended up with it. So there we go. This is one of the matches people are here to see. And they have had, leading up to this, Austin hasn't done a lot of house shows. When he's done house shows, he's been in six-man tag matches where he didn't do a lot and certainly did not take bumps. Okay.
It's just funny to look back at how primitive these entrances were.
True.
And they were so much fun though, but it's like, it's just cardboard out there with a sliding it open and stuff. Like, especially like, I like it when the King of the Ring, when they have the guys dressed up as the knights.
Oh, that was good. That was good stuff.
Wasn't it the Hardy Boys?
One year it was. Yeah. Okay. All right, everybody giving him a lot of room.
It's kind of like Austin is coming out first.
Well, Austin's a challenger. He should come out first.
Usually the biggest star, the babyface comes out.
This is also Canada where Austin's the heel.
I get it. It's true. It is Canada. You're bad. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, come out here and fight me. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I guess all those pro-Austin signs,
right.
Made me forget that he's the heel.
Right. Well, it happens. Okay. I forgot they had the siren, the ambulance and Owen's entrance. Oh, wait, no, they took out the Hart Foundation music and dubbed in Owen's singles music. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Nothing makes sense.
No. Yeah. Team Canada making their way to the ring with Owen Hart. Okay. Let's see.
Is that a scrotum on that picture?
Maybe.
That what that is?
No, it's actually a drawing of a scrotum, Jim.
Oh, okay, thank you.
No problem. Glad I could help.
I slept through health class. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Furnace and LaFon. Davy Boy. Jim Neidhart. Oh. Okay.
The back and forth there on the pile driver. That's
yeah. That's a nice touch. Yeah.
How does wrestling get such a bad reputation?
I have no idea. Owen 316s. I just broke your neck. Somehow Bruce Mitchell didn't buy that one. I don't remember why, but.
Well, he's still got a few more miles to get out of the I broke Wahoo's
leg shirt. Yeah, I know. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I had one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I bought it from the Mid-Atlantic Gateway for $1,000. He broke Wahoo's leg.
Good times. Good times. Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is part of the dance here. You have to have... You're booking it for the Canadian fans and the American fans at the same time. So Austin has had to sign a waiver to be allowed to wrestle, allegedly. Okay. Let's see what we can get out of this one. Okay. Austin hasn't taken off the vest.
I don't know that he does.
All right. I like him bringing the slammies. Bringing the slammies to the ring with him is a nice touch. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And the only guy alive on this picture is Phil LaFon.
Yeah. Well.
Sad.
It is kind of sad. Yep. All right. But there we are. Okay. Let's see. All right. Oh, no. Oh, Austin rips the shirt. Oh, there we go. All right. Let's start this. Neidhart with a sneak attack before the bell. And here we go. Yeah, this is going to be a pretty safe match, one would think.
Yeah, they're going to have to keep this really basic and
yeah,
fairly quick.
Uh-huh. Oh, there we go. Ah, yep. All right, reversal and yep. Oh no. The backdrop.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Up, up, up. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. And instead, Owen's going to target the knee. Okay. And, Team Canada's cleared out.
And they are gone. They've provided the distraction that they needed. Right.
Yep. But is it enough? Will it be enough? Okay. And Austin's selling the knee. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Owen's going to get himself counted out. Well.
Well, Austin can't win the title that way.
No, absolutely not.
That's a good camera shot right there.
Yeah. I like this.
Okay. Boomerang style clothesline to the back.
And we do the walk. We do the walk and brawl. Hey, we do the walk and brawl.
It's always fun WWE match with the walk and brawl.
Yep, I know. All right, and we got it back into the ring, and that's how you do it. Owen rolls out the other side.
Short Steve Austin walking, bro. Yeah, they're definitely stalling a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the mule kick. Very nice. So is the guy with the scrote sign, did he wander all the way around to the other side of the ring? I don't know.
Or did they pass him the sign along?
That could be it. I don't know.
Pass the scrotum on the left-hand side.
Yeah, that's right. Who could ever forget that classic? Going to the nose. There we go.
If there's a tear in the sign, is it a hernia?
I don't... Yes. Yes, it is. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, he chokes him with the cables.
But they're doing all the tricks.
That's right. They watch their tape of Hogan and Slaughter at WrestleMania 7.
Doing all the tricks. They're avoiding taking bumps.
Yep.
Which is smart.
No, I agree. This is the way to go.
But they're still trying to portray action.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Yep. All right. And going for the choke. Owen trying to get disqualified, I guess. Yeah. Oh, breaks the eyes. Okay. Well, the thing is, nobody can look up at the Jumbotron because there's no Jumbotron.
Yeah, nobody's on their cell phones either.
It's amazing. All right, here we go. Time to stomp a mud hole in them. All right. Okay. Off rope, are we going to get it? Nope. Yep. Oh. Come on. Stunner. That's it. And Steve Austin is your Intercontinental Champion. Yes. Oh, there's Bulldog. Oh, there's for the Furnace and LaFon. Excuse me.
I'm thinking this is the last time those two work.
I don't think they'd be working much longer, so yeah.
Because Austin wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. There was heat with him, and I went all over this. And...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, one of them got, I don't know if we talked about this.
Yeah, I want to be gone until January after tonight.
Right. He doesn't know it yet, but yes, he will.
Yeah.
Okay. Austin gets the win. To the thrill of the American fans. But
Austin is probably going to win the title anyway, but
yeah.
Given the outcome of the main event.
Now he definitely has to win the title.
They definitely had to get the title off Bowman no matter what.
Okay, now as for officially backstage the finish of the Well, can I talk about what the official finish of the main event was supposed to be? Maybe I should save that.
No, I think it's okay.
All right. Well, backstage, Brett has been told that the main event, the finish of this is going to end up being a double disqualification. And they're going to set up, and then next month, it's going to be, Brett called Eric Bischoff and got permission to start a week late so that Brett could work the D-Generation X pay-per-view and drop the title there.
And like the four-way thing with
in a four-way,
Shamrock,
yes.
And see, and again,
I mean, but given WWF booking, that doesn't sound, sound suspicious by itself.
It does in retrospect. I mean, if you look at it from now, because it's the way things are done so commonly right. now, but back then, it was something that, the only other time that such a match took place where the title changed hands was when Shawn lost his smile.
Right.
You know, so I think that I would have been on high alert myself, I think, just.
Well, Brett was on.
It's easy to say.
Brett was on alert. That's why, and he had his family around him.
I forgot about these commercials, that they were so good.
Oh man! Put up or shut up. All right. Jim Ross says this match is going to be stiff. Well, yeah, I guess so. It's video package time, kids. Oh yeah. No, that's right. Okay, when did Furnace and LaFon leave? WrestleMania 12. Which was, I think, their last previous meeting. It had been put off twice. They were supposed to do it. The rematch between Shawn and Brett. They were supposed to have it at WrestleMania 13, and Shawn lost his smile. Then they were supposed to have it at King of the Ring 97, but Brett got hurt. So, this is where we are. And they also, I mean, they also had an actual fight backstage. We're not doing that. You can go into okay. Anyway, let's see. I mean, the video package is good. It lays it out pretty well. Brett's spinning on.
They had so much history between them. And it's hard to explain this. How all this kind of materialized. Through today's the eyes of today's fans, because today's fans don't believe in this anymore.
Right.
They might watch it, they might support it, but they don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. So see, Shawn and Brett have kind of started their own, kind of doing their own work shoot back here, or maybe it was Brett who really started the work shoot back here at the WrestleMania with the Iron Man match, and he leaves. So there's people.
Well, there's more to that story. They have the match. Shawn wins. He tells the referee, "Get Brett the hell out of the ring so I can celebrate." Brett takes that poorly, and he's set to leave anyway. And then Brett works the overseas tour after Mania. Then he comes back and he signs a 20-year contract.
Well, I mean, that was after he went home for 6 months.
Yeah, well, did like a movie, I think, did TV.
And meantime, Shawn is the world champion, but during this era, when so much of your pay and the company's business revolved around the house show touring and so forth like that, Shawn was a sensational wrestler, but not a particularly good draw. Which is what Brett was counting on. And Shawn had an immature streak in him that would cause him to behave badly. And of course, you know, he had the other problems too. He had the recreational drug issues and so forth. And you know, Brett didn't have those problems, but Brett's problem was that Brett took himself extremely seriously, probably more seriously than he should have in the angles, you know. But then you started having situations where these guys thought that they were each making each other look bad in the angles and the finishes and so forth. There's the Bulldog walking in the background there. Did you see that? He just walked into the door that Shawn just came out of.
Right.
Did you catch that?
Okay. Well, you might be a little bit behind, but that's okay.
Maybe I am. But
Shawn's walking towards the ring, folks.
Yeah.
And he just, there we go. Beer thrown at Shawn.
Oh, he's already
China, boy! It's pre-work China.
Uh-huh.
pre-breast augmentation.
Oh yeah, the Rick Rude with him.
Yeah, Rick Rude.
Well, H, there we go. Yep. Oh. Okay, so yep. Well, John does not care for the Canadian flag. But on this one, for this one match, both the American fans and the Canadian fans are pretty much rooting for, at this point, they're pretty much rooting for the same guy.
Well, because Sean's such an incredibly unlikable ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just, you know, just the demeanor. Nobody's
as
just,
you can see.
No one's this good. you know? No one's this good as being an ass.
He's the Plus, Sean had also told the locker room that he wouldn't be putting any of them over. That was a legitimate thing that Meltzer reported, and that went over great, by the way.
He's out of control as a performer and as an individual. Obviously, clearly, he's out of control. And the worst part of it all is there's nowhere to truly turn, because the other guy who they could kind of put him in his Vince should have put Sean in his place.
Yes.
But well, that the other guy is leaving, you know.
So there's no point.
But there was a couple different ways to have went about this. Okay, and so Vince McMahon didn't do any of them.
Okay, there's Bulldog and Neidhart. Yep, and we've already heard the bit both from Vince McMahon saying there'll be extra backstage security because these two don't like each other, to keep them apart.
Right.
Which is a good storyline, yes. Plus, everybody knows they have a legit history with not liking each other. Yeah. Yeah, the two entourages, you know, similar but different, let's say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is the first real internet sensation wrestling story, I think.
Yeah. Yes, and Vince Russo did not, and this was not made up by Vince Russo, by the way. Although he paid attention, apparently. Took the wrong lessons from it, maybe.
I just wish he would have copied it more.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I wish more wrestling bookers.
Yeah.
Not enough wrestling bookers copied.
Yeah, that's true. Crooked promoter. Yeah, okay, here we go. Well, anyway.
Which kid is that? Is that Blade?
I'm guessing. Yeah. Here we are. Brett lied. Canada sucks. Wow. It went there, huh?
I really like this kind of.
The atmosphere is fantastic.
You really feel like it's they didn't disappoint. Something's about to happen.
There's no point in not playing it up somewhat, you know. Because the word is out that Brett's gonna leave at some point in the near future.
This was supposed to be the big moment that was going to be the shift of the war.
Yeah.
And it kind of was, but not the way it was expected to be.
No, it really wasn't. Now, I'm going through this Dave Meltzer summary of this show. And I remember, you know, one of the things that stuck with me, and I think Vince McMahon... I think this is where Vince McMahon decided on the screw job is, November 5th, McMahon called Hart and said that Michaels had agreed to what the scenario they laid out, but he had a better idea. He wanted Brett to drop the title at the house show in Detroit. Hart refused, feeling the way everything had been built up. He wanted the match with Michaels and to not come off as anticlimactic. And for that to happen, he needed to go into Montreal as a champion. Said he would drop the title anytime after November 12th and at the house shows in Youngstown, Pittsburgh, Madison Square Garden. Yeah, this is where I have the, yeah. This is where I can't say Vince McMahon did the right thing, but I understand.
Yeah. You start to allow your talent to dictate to you what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. You're gonna have a problem. Now, I don't believe for a minute that TBS would have ever allowed the belt to be on their television at that point during such a contentious war.
No.
And I don't think that Bret Hart was the kind of guy who was going to go and do that, because I think he had a certain loyalty, if not blind trust, in Vince McMahon.
Yeah, but you know, Vince said, and I think there's a possibility that, you know, he was pretty sure Eric Bischoff was going to go out on Nitro the next night and announce that he'd signed Bret Hart.
Big deal.
Yeah.
That's like everybody already knew it was happening.
Yeah.
It had gotten around.
Definitely a different era.
Yeah. It's hard for, I think, for people to see this today, because they don't believe in these guys the way they did back then. And
no.
They weren't relied upon.
And why should they?
And it's like, you know, Bret took the championship. Everyone took the championship seriously. It's like Bret really believed he was the champion because he was the best wrestler. And the proof's in the pudding here. I mean, 20,000 people are hanging in this building. I mean, one better internationally than they were in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the bell hasn't rung. The match has not started, by the way.
You can just see it in Bret's eyes. There's just such a disdain.
Right.
These two are not working. They're working, but they're not working.
Yeah.
You know. And this is why what made this feud so interesting.
All of this part, though, is stuff that they had worked out backstage.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out there's not, you know.
This is not a shoot.
No.
This match is not a shoot.
This is not, yeah. It doesn't get out of things don't get out of control, you know, things don't go off script until the very end.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember watching this match as it happened. Like I said, it's the only, this and the Austin match were like, but I laughed when you said that, but it was the truth. The only two matches I remember from this card.
Mm-hmm. And they're taken back in the hard way. All right. Now, Jim,
cooperation.
Let me ask you this, Jim. Let's say that Vince goes with the agreed upon, you know, let's say that they stick with the agreed upon finish and they end this and they end this pay-per-view in a big schmoz. Could they have come out the next night on Raw and had Bret drop the title that way?
You mean give it up?
Well, like, no, have him lose the title in the ring on Raw or on the taping after the night after Raw.
You can do whatever you want. As far as, you know, the impact that it would have, no, I mean, it would just be, you know, it would probably be just a match, and it wouldn't have the cultural impact. You know, there's just, look, there are lots of speculation, and I'm not speculating anything about it.
Right.
But clearly, there's, as Shane mentioned, Shawn was not a big draw. Shawn wasn't a big draw. A spectacular performer, bell to bell, not a great promo. I think the DX was kind of in the shadow of the NWO at this point.
DX just started. I mean, this is like, in its infancy.
DX is just Hunter and Shawn was not great. It's not great. Anyway, my point is, and even Bret wasn't a great draw either. However, the level of professionalism and reliability that Bret had was much more. It's like, I don't understand to this day why Vince stuck with Shawn. I believe that there's something that is yet to come out that we don't know about. That is the driving reason why Vince chose Shawn over Bret. I don't know what it is. I'm not speculating as to what it is. I'm just saying that it exists.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean, we might not know everything that, you know, I mean, a lot's going to come out about Vince McMahon after he passes away, but I don't think we're going to find out, you know, like, everything about him.
Not for years. Not for
years. No. And nor should, you know, probably shouldn't. Yeah, but they
forgot how close these guys were when they were brawling, how close the fans were. There was, like, no clearance. And that was kind of where the McMahon contingent comes out with Briscoe.
There goes in Pat Patterson. Okay, Patterson takes a shot from Michaels. Okay, and yeah, has the bell even rung yet? I'm not sure about. Oh, down goes Tim White. Yep.
Did Brett know that Vince was coming with the whole crew? From what Wrestling with Shadows that he, or in his book or something, but I don't recall if he knew that Vince was supposed to be there or suddenly Vince was just there.
At ringside?
Yeah, when Vince came out here, when things. During the course of the match,
I don't know whether Brett knew that was going to happen.
That suplex was exactly like he would have done it inside the ring, which is beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think, you know, I can see. Yeah, I could see where Brett would think, well, this puts over the serious, and you know how serious the match is. There we go. Down goes. Jack Doan, is that?
Okay, I just saw Pat get whacked. I must
Jack Doan. Behind here. Yeah. Yeah, Vince yelling at Brett to take it back to the ring. Right. Okay. There's Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah. But yeah, the main point of this is that they've lost control. They're, you know, all hands on deck to try and get this thing back to the ring. Okay.
And, which again lends itself to the match.
Right.
Yeah, because these guys have had every great wrestling match that there's that they could have had on multiple occasions on pay-per-views and everything else. I think the thing about their matches is that both these guys, I think they can always keep the matches different. And this one had been built. This is the first real time that they're duking it out. That was a real grudge match.
Yeah. First time, match officially starts there. Okay. And he's choking him with the Quebec flag. And match is starting. Yeah, nobody's jumping in to try and, you know, take it away from Brett.
Fighting back there in the aisleway. So this is just good stuff.
Yeah,
you're right. I'm about a minute behind you here. Jack Doon just got whacked.
Right.
Trying to catch up.
If you can, yeah, they're in the ring. Okay, and atomic drop. Inverted atomic drop. Thank you, Jim. Jim Ross. Yes. Okay.
I got it. I'm back in the ring here now. I've kind of fast forwarded a little bit. Sometimes this thing freezes up, unfortunately. Yeah.
If you read between the lines of what Meltzer wrote, they had a meeting the night before the show, and two of the people who, you know, of the inner circle of WWF, and two of the people, you know, left visibly shaken and upset. And if you read between the lines, knowing what we know now, those two people were probably Jim Cornette and Jim Ross. Because they were also the two people most likely to call Dave Meltzer the moment that meeting ended. Yeah.
But then years later on, we found out that Cornette was the one who gave Vince the idea. Mm-hmm. He wasn't directly involved in the planning as such, but he gave him the idea for this finish.
Yeah, but I mean, and, you know, it's but they did screw job. They did a screw job finish before for on Wendy Richter. So it's not like Vince had never had the idea cross his mind.
Yeah, but that was really different. Yeah, I mean, if you remember that match, and I mm-hmm. certainly do. The part that always puzzles me about that story was how in the hell did Wendy Richter not know that it was Moolah?
I figure she had to know it was Moolah. She just wasn't expecting to get, you know.
Yeah, but I've heard the story that she didn't know.
I've heard Moolah. That too, but I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that part of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's too far fetched.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, if nothing else, you know, you get to the ring and you're like, hey, what's Moolah doing here? I mean, come on.
Yeah. In a mask, no less.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like she didn't know her.
I know.
She had probably worked for hundreds of times, not to mention she was trained by her.
Yeah, so.
You didn't know.
Yeah. That body type, it's either, under the mask, it's either Moolah or Lou Albano.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. And Moolah also trained a guy I used to manage who Shane knows, Michael, you know, Magnificent Michael, a.k.a. Muhammad Kane.
He's about 100 different people.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right, we got the steps. Yep, we're just going to. Speaking of walking brawls, geez, this has been one.
This has been a wild one.
Yep. Okay. Oh, all right. And Sean drops Brett on the solid aluminum steel steps. All right. And he's taking the Canadian flag. Oh, no. We're not going to desecrate the Canadian. Oh, he just broke the Canadian flagpole. And.
Again,
yeah. You know, it's a good thing Canadians aren't as irate over that sort of thing as Americans would be.
Yeah. Do the Rick Mundy spot with the Canadians, they just laugh it off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, but I mean, think about it. I 1997. I don't think they would have had Bret Hart, you know, destroy the American flag in Madison Square Garden. I don't think that would have, even though Brett's supposed to be the heel.
Yeah, that didn't happen, but yet the Canadian flag got dumped all over.
Well, yeah, it's a, yeah, true. All right. Okay. Yep. All right, so Michaels is making his comeback here. Oh, nope, he's going. Into the front face lock. Okay.
I might be ahead of you now.
time for a reset. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't remember this extended front face lock at all.
Right.
But
okay.
Quickly, how would you?
Okay. And I've got to assume that Brett's calling this one. Yeah, they did have the. You're right. They did have the crew from the Wrestling with Shadows documentary. If you haven't seen that, they were backstage for this whole event, and they, they put a lot of the true story of that is on there. So,
that's a really good movie.
It is. All right, Brett's back. Here we go. Hook in the knee.
Sean with a handful of face.
Yep, there he goes. Two. All right. Earl breaks it up. As Sean, yeah.
There's a critical point here, as I recall it, and it's like we haven't quite got there yet.
No.
I think it has something to do with that. I don't know if it's Brent comes off the second rope or Sean comes off the second rope and Earl gets pulled into it.
All right. Okay. Yeah. That's true.
Where all the wheels get put into motion at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, you know? There we go. Go to the eyes again. All right.
Sean heading up to the top, going to drop that elbow. Maybe not break back to his feet, cross body, roll through.
All right, and both entourages are backstage, are watching, you know, from the back, waiting for their cue. Oh, two.
Yeah. How many people are in on this but aren't really in on it?
Well, how many people know what they think the finish is?
Yeah, so you get Brett Owen, Bulldog, Rick Rude,
Hunter. Well, Hunter probably knows what the Hunter probably knows what's going on. Yeah,
China.
Yeah, China. Maybe, well, I don't know how much they've been told China. No, I don't think so. I don't know if they. I don't know if Rude's been. I don't know if Rude's been tipped off either. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think that's part of Rude's reason.
Ring post figure four by Brett, which is a move he has used as a heel. Hey. Oh, there we go. And then Jim Ross explaining that Brett did break before the count of five. So for anybody who's
not all rules. Have been thrown out.
No. Because ideally, you know, they're going to throw it out because of the schmoz that's going to come up. That's what.
Right.
Right. Okay, going to drop, going to do the flare, drop the knee, drop the buttocks to the knee. I know that what's coming up next has been examined more times than the Zapruder film, so.
yeah.
Yeah, this is wrestling's grassy knoll.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left. Yep. Or the sign, or the Seinfeld line. That's one magic loogie.
Even yeah. WWE.
Figure four.
WWE played this over and over
again. Yeah.
You decide, fans, to. Bret Hart submit. Shocking. WWE said yes.
Yep. Michael's trying to turn this over. All right. So yeah, it's almost gone too long already. He needs to turn it over.
Yeah.
No. No.
There's drama and there's implausibility.
Yeah. There we go. Okay. We got it. And Brett makes the ropes. Okay. All right. Hey.
We're almost there.
Yeah. Fans are enjoying this, though.
There's only a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
This show kind of cuts off abruptly.
Yes, it does, as I recall.
Up the buckle. Beautiful.
Okay. Okay, now right hand, right hand. Okay, now they're going to the buckle. And Michaels always took that very well. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, off. Off, side rush and leg sweep. One of the moves of Doom. Two. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, and here we go. Oh.
Butt buster.
Got a headbutt to the lower abdomen is where I'm at. All right.
That's nice. Vertical
snooplex. Yep, there he goes. One, two, yeah. Yeah, but people know this is one of Brett's big sequences here. Backbreaker. Three.
This is where Earl gets pulled in.
Yeah. Here we go. And this is obviously as planned.
Uh-huh.
Michaels pulls Earl and music into the way. Yep.
Now this is the point where everyone goes from being on the same sheet of music to somebody has hit a clunker note, all and right. the band has stopped. Mm-hmm. To you know.
Okay.
But while the other wheels are in motion.
All right, but yeah, everything. Yeah, right now everything looks like it's supposed to. And okay, now we're gonna do the, sharpshooter reversal.
The watch here is Earl.
Yep, it is. And Earl suddenly goes from selling to 100 miles an hour. There he goes. Ring the bell.
And see you later. Bye, Earl.
Yep. Earl's gone. Earl is out the arena, literally to the parking garage where there's a car with an engine running waiting for him.
Yep.
All right, and Brett's already spit on Vince McMahon. And Sean is just saying, what the hell are you doing, Vince? You know.
That's some bad acting by Sean.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that other bad acting, you know. It's not, you know, he's been a bad actor before, so it's not like it's out of character. Mm-hmm. All right, Briscoe hustling him out.
Yeah. Look at that. Last time I saw acting this bad, somebody was delivering a pizza.
Boom, boom.
And right. That's where they cut it.
That's where, real. Oh, yeah, they didn't give us any more? Oh, well, that's it, folks. Good night, everybody. Quite the show here. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Okay, so that's the 1997 Survivor Series. Let's see. Okay, now I might have to go through the description. What happened is, after the split, Brett runs amok, you know, and you know, I think he destroys the announce table and signs WCW to the crowd. Let's see. Yeah. Okay.
Tasha's monitors.
Right. Okay. Okay. Hebner sprinted out the ring. Okay. Here we go. Let's see. All right. Vince screamed at Michaels to pick the effing belt up and get the F out of here. And Michaels is, okay, show goes off the air 4 minutes early. All right.
the officials get the F out.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay, McMahon gets straight to his private office with Patterson and his boys and locks the door behind him. And Brett's still out there with Owen, Davey Boy, and Neidhart. The four are talking in the ring for a couple minutes. Nobody can see what they're saying. Brett finally thanks the fans. Gave the I love you sign to the fans and finger-painted WCW at all four corners of the ring, which got a big pop. Then went back to the dressing room, runs across Michaels. Michaels swears he has nothing to do with it. Michaels told Hart that he gets heat for everything that happens, but this wasn't his fault, and he was just as mad as Brett about the finish. He didn't want to win the belt this way. He was disgusted, and he would refuse to bring the belt out or say anything bad about Hart the next night. And Brett said, yeah, go ahead and prove it. If that's true, go ahead and prove it tomorrow night. The dressing room, all the other wrestlers are pissed at McMahon. Because, you know, the feeling is, according to Dave Meltzer, if Bret Hart, having worked for this company for 14 years and not missing any shows due to injuries, could get double-crossed this bad, how could any of them trust anything that Vince would say or do? Right. Which is, I think that's quite reasonable. I think The Undertaker is the one who probably articulated that the best. Let's see. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So Undertaker was furious, pounding on the locked door. When he came out to talk with him, Undertaker told Vince in no uncertain terms he needed to apologize to Hart. Vince went to Brett's dressing room. Brett had just come out of the shower. Davey Boy answered the door, and Brett said he didn't want to see him. Vince and Shane McMahon and Sergeant Slaughter and Briscoe went in anyway. Vince started to apologize, said he couldn't do the chance of Brett going to WCW without giving back the belt, and he couldn't have Bischoff go on Nitro the next night, and announced that Bret Hart, that the WWF champion, was on his way. You know, Bret said he had no problem losing the belt, and told McMahon he's going to get dressed, and says, if you're still here, I'm going to punch you out. He called Vince a liar, piece of crap, you know, blah 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 blah, and just does the whole thing. McMahon's tried to say that it was the first time he'd ever lied to him, and Bret rattled off about 15 lies from the past year alone without even thinking about it. And, you know, then Brett was dressed, told McMahon to get out, told McMahon to get out again. Brett got up. A scuffle started with them locking up like in a wrestling match. Hart broke free, threw a punch to the jaw. You know, one punch knockout. McMahon growled like he was going to get up, but he didn't have his legs under him. Shane McMahon jumped on Brett's back, and Davey Boy Smith jumped on Shane's back, pulling him off. Let's see. Davey had already taken off his knee brace and hyperextended his knee in the process. Brett nearly broke his hand from punching Vince's jaw. They thought Vince's jaw was fractured or broken. Brett asked Vince if he was going to screw him on the money he owed, and a groggy Vince said no. He told Shane and Briscoe to get that POS out of here and said if they'd try, Brett told Shane and Briscoe to get that POS Vince out of there, and if they tried anything, they'd get the same result. In dragging Vince out, somebody accidentally stepped on Vince's ankle, injuring that as well. Okay. And there's where we are, I think. Yep. Okay. Earl Hebner at the hotel was confronted by one of the wrestlers who asked how he could do this to Brett. Earl claimed ignorance and said he knew nothing about it. Nobody was buying that. Okay. Yep. And when Brett got back to the hotel and he watched the replay, you could see Earl screaming, "Ring the bell." And that was, according to Brett, what he took the hardest. Okay, I think that's I think that about sums it up. You got anything to add on that finish, guys?
Well, I mean we've all seen it so many times, but yeah. It's fascinating to watch. I think every 10 years in wrestling, I think it's a good idea to go back and watch that finish, just because of how much wrestling has changed. Mm-hmm. In the years since then, it's like you'll never have a situation like this again.
Right.
It really changed the way the business was presented.
Yeah.
Honestly, organically, it really did start. It changed how TV wrestling was presented and what was expected. And it totally changed the tide, even though it took a couple months for it to really truly take hold. It changed the tide of the Monday Night War.
It did.
Because it was just so fascinating.
Also, it also brought about one other change. You know, the money that Vince said he couldn't spend on Bret Hart, the money on Bret's contract, that was the money, you know, you could pretty much trace it. That was the money they used to pay Mike Tyson to come in for WrestleMania.
And honestly, in retrospect, was it a mistake?
No, but I mean, part of the reason it wasn't a mistake was WCW, they had Bret Hart, but so many people had creative control that they were limited in what they could do with Bret Hart.
Well, and again, that's a mistake you make when you give your wrestlers too much control.
I mean, Bret wasn't going to get, you know, unless
Bret, I can see, you know, I can see Hogan having creative control, right. But everyone can't have creative control.
Everybody did.
And that's what screwed it up. Mm-hmm. But I mean, in retrospect, I mean, you take away the sentimentality and nostalgia and take away that Bret Hart was this great wrestler. Was it a mistake for him to have hired Mike Tyson? Because Mike Tyson culturally at that point in time is 20, 25, 50 times bigger of a star than Bret Hart.
Yeah.
But not only that, the key was Mike Tyson had broken up with his longtime manager, Don King, right before the WrestleMania press conference. And that was shocking news. And WWE really benefited not only from Mike Tyson being a big star, but also Mike Tyson being hot again in the public eye because of the public breakup with Don King. So there really were kind of two trigger points. Trigger point with Bret Hart that we just saw, and then whatever trigger point Mike Tyson had with Don King.
Well, supposedly, and I can't verify whether this is true, supposedly part of it was, Mike Tyson talking to Shane McMahon and finding out from Shane that Mike Tyson's cut that he was getting from the WWF for showing up at the Royal Rumble wasn't what showed up in Mike Tyson's bank account. Again, supposedly, that led to the problems between, you know, between Tyson and Don King. Now, I can't verify whether that's true or not.
I'm following now. Like Don King snipped a piece off that he wasn't expecting to snip off or something.
Yes.
And remember also, you have to also understand the cultural. Mike Tyson was not just a heavyweight. He was a sensation. And his life story of how he got to where he was, and not only as a great fighter, but the things that had unraveled in his life, the rape conviction and the prison sentence and the coming out of the hype around him fighting, Peter McNeely. And keep in mind, Survivor Series is November 97. It's 6 months earlier. Tyson's biting Evander Holyfield's ear off.
That's right, yeah.
Mike Tyson's about damn near the individual most famous athlete in the world at this point. Maybe sans Michael Jordan or somebody, but he's in the news. He's controversial. He's a guy who looks like they were airing his hearings with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Right. I mean, it was big news. Big coup for McMahon to get him.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people knew who Hulk Hogan was, but everybody knew who Mike Tyson was.
Yes.
That's the difference. Yes. Yeah.
And putting him in the spot where he was making appearances on TV and was going to be at the WrestleMania, it was the perfect storm, like Jim said. I mean, it just happened, and things just kept happening every day that involved him. Right. He was, you know.
Exactly.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. Okay, so WWF, the next night, they do Shotgun Saturday Night. They tape Shotgun Saturday Night, and they do Raw from Ottawa in front of 8,209 people at the Carell Center. The dark match, Glenn Kolka defeats Adam Copeland. Wonder what happened to those kids, huh? Yeah. The main event of Shotgun Saturday Night, Doug Furness and Phil LaFon defeat Flash Funk and Scott Taylor. And then on the live Raw, Undertaker versus Kama goes to a no contest when Paul Bearer and Kane come out to ringside and distract Undertaker. And in the main event, Ken Shamrock and Triple H go to a no contest when Shawn Michaels interferes in the match and Shamrock gets a visual pin on Shawn Michaels. So there you go.
They're setting him up for the big match.
All right. See, haven't heard from Jim in a couple minutes, but I think he's still on the line. Anyway, all right, WCW, they're in Memphis at the Mid-South Coliseum for a live Nitro. On that show, Eddie Guerrero pins Rey Mysterio to win the Cruiserweight title. And in the main event, Lex Luger beats Ric Flair by disqualification when Kurt Hennig comes in and attacks Luger. Because, you know, Kurt Hennig and Ric Flair hate each other. And that's another feud that really That's another feud that really didn't get paid off the way it should have. But,
absolutely not.
But everything is being built around Hogan and Sting, so hardly surprising. And the next ECW show is is the 15th, which I think is Friday, November 15th, in scenic Glasgow, Delaware, in front of 1,500 people. Rob Van Dam beats the Sandman and ECW champion Bam Bam Bigelow. defeats Shane Douglas. Okay, so onward. Now it's time to pick our next set of shows. And let's see. Jim is off the line. You want me to try to get him?
Well, I mean, we're this far down the line here. I wonder what happened.
Well, I don't know. I will try to raise him again. But Shane, why don't we figure out what we want to do in the next set of shows here? Do you have any anything come to mind?
Well, let's see here. What about the we're just coming off a WWE show. What about the fall? What about a fall brawl? We're coming up in
September. A fall brawl.
Yeah, let's. I remember the first one they had on the Clash of Champions Fall Brawl. I don't know if you ever did that one. That was an interesting show, to say the least.
Okay, you mean the first Clash of Champions?
No, the Clash of Champions Fall Brawl. I think was the first Fall Brawl. I think the main event was Barry and Sting.
Okay, Jim, hold on. Everybody on the same call here? Hello.
I'm here.
I think we have like two calls going on here. I tried to bring Jim back.
The telephone lines are open, everybody. If you want to call.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. No, I was unable to raise Jim again on here. Let's see. Okay.
We'll have him back, I'm sure.
We will definitely have him back. All right. Okay, fan's choice here. Okay, so you wanted to do Clash of Champions Fall Brawl. That's Clash of Champions 3?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, okay, that's Sting and Barry Windham, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
1988, yes, okay. And that's not the only, I know that's not the only match on the show, but that's the one I want to say that's Albany, Georgia.
I think you're right.
Okay, we can do that. Let's see. Choice from off the fans list. All right. I don't know if we've quite. It's been a while since this one went up, I want to say. SummerSlam 2003. Second Elimination Chamber match. Plus, I want to Lesnar versus Angle versus Big Show. That sounds right for some reason. Yeah. SummerSlam 2003.
I don't know that I ever saw that one.
You didn't? Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's basically Elimination Chamber, and it's like Goldberg in there, and Evolution's in there, and I think one or two other guys. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's quite the show. Okay. Now I need to pick one, and should I do it? Yeah, I think this one just recently went up, Shane, and I know you're excited about it. If we get to do it. TNA Genesis 2006, the first ever meeting between Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe, is up on YouTube. So,
great, actually.
Why the hell not? All right, I'll put that in there.
Why the hell not?
All right, well, let me get the randomizer queued up because I know we're gonna want some of this. Yes. Randomized action. I want to thank Jim Valley for being on the show. If we don't get around to doing the goodbye with him. I hope he didn't have to. I hope I hope there wasn't a reason he had to drop off. That's all I'm saying. We love our friend Jim. Okay, so let me get back to here and do. Let's give the wheel a big spin. Go! I said go. All right, we're giving the big wheel a spin. WCW is on here. ECW, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, USWA, Global, NWA Mid-Atlantic, and we stop at. Stop it, Raw. Okay. I mean, so much of this stuff is WCW. It's not just any episode of Raw. We stop at Raw from November 16, 1998 in Lexington, Kentucky. The night after the 98 Survivor Series, it is Ken Shamrock taking on the Big Boss Man, and in the main event, The Rock, the corporate champion, defends the title against Stone Cold Steve Austin. So that was a show. Yeah, that was a show. And we'll add that to the list. And wow, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Four big events. And after that, after we choose one of these four, then we're going to choose the what we're going to do for the 8th anniversary show, which is going to be Labor Day weekend, a.k.a. the weekend of AEW All Out. And that's where we're going to be. Okay. Lost you here at some point during the finish. So every Saturday on Wrestling Observer Radio?
Every Saturday, Wrestling Observer Live.
Okay, yeah.
Saturday, it's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. It's an hour of me rambling, either on Sports Byline or downloaded. I've been doing it on my own YouTube channel, not the Observer YouTube channel.
Okay.
They can't get a producer rental. So I just put it on. I just threw it on my computer. Nothing fancy. Talk into my computer. So if you want to help me out, go to Jim Valley on YouTube and subscribe. Smash that subscribe button, as the kids.
And then smash that like button.
Yep. Like and subscribe. All the stuff, kids.
All right, Jim. Well, we'll see. We'll see how busy you are, Jim. But thank you very much for joining us for this. Couldn't very well do this 25th anniversary thing without you.
Well, I appreciate it. It's always good to check in. I'm always happy to hear from you and Shane. It's always cute when you send me pictures of your kid.
Yes, and we love you, man. You take care.
Love you too, man.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. Visit us on. It's going to be vote's going to be up on Twitter. Visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. Shane is at One Only Shane Shad One. All right. That's how we're doing it here. And let's see. Leave a 5, 6, or 7 star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever your pods are cast. We will be there. Visit our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. And go ahead and subscribe and get all the episodes, all the 412 other back episodes, including stuff from behind, normally behind the paywall. Get bonus episodes like the one Shane and I just recently did for NWA Pro in August of 1987.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. That's our 25th bonus episode, actually, is what that was. And if you'd like to know more about Steve Austin, Owen Hart, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, or Earl Hebner, visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go download your local library app. They're all in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, we look forward to seeing you, and we'll be doing something. We'll be doing one of the Legends of the Fall, one way or the other. And I can't wait, and neither can you. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.